Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock, and we're going to talk about cars for the next couple of hours. If you'd like to join us, you can. It's easy. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Gil, have you got me?
I got you, Mark.
Okay, I'm just checking. I just saw a bar just disappear, and I thought, I better check before I continue to talk.
Oh, no, you're good.
All righty. Thank you, thank you. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Action Auto. They're at I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom and I have been friends and competitors, actually, since 1983. So whatever you need, and you live anywhere near I-17 in Deer Valley, Tom's a good shop. The name of his shop is Action Auto Repair. He's been around the block. He knows right from wrong, and he's not likely to listen to some technician that may want to tell him a story that he knows isn't true. Those are the good owners, the guys that came from the trenches. It's quite different if you used to sell bread and then you become a owner of an auto repair shop. Typically, there's a learning curve there that could be kind of drastic. But nevertheless, it's not going to happen at Action Auto, I-17 in Deer Valley. 602-508-0960. And we got a caller already, so I'm going to just take the caller. Who might that be?
Say good morning to Steve.
Steve, good morning. How are you?
Oh, super wonderful. Thank you very much. I've got a Nissan Versa with 12,000 miles. When I come to a stop, the idle, it just kind of like chatters a little bit, kind of like it wants to cut out. Not real bad, but it is noticeable. I know you're not a big proponent for fuel additives, but there is anything that would might clear up or help the injectors?
Okay.
No?
What year is the Versa?
2021.
Okay. And how many miles? Yeah, it's 12,000 miles on it.
12,000, yeah.
Okay. The first thing I want you to do is shut off all your climate controls, okay?
Oh, okay.
No heater, no air conditioning, no nothing. No climate controls at all, and see if that changes it. And the reason why I'm saying that is this is right now we can have really warm days and really cold nights. People are going back and forth between their heaters and their air conditioning, their defrost and their floor. And the air compressor itself is going to intermittently work both in heat mode and in cool mode. Well, when the compressor comes on and off, the Versa motor is not exactly a 727 kind of motor. So as the compressor is energized and then de-energized, you're going to see a fluctuation in RPM. And with the mileage that you have on it, it's highly unlikely that the throttle blades need to be cleaned or the fuel injection, the injectors need to be flushed, and you don't have any check engine lights. So I'm going to say that I'm going to be 75% sure that if you turn off your climate controls, this problem will go away. Now, the only difference then is if you go full heat and you don't try to mix the hot and the cold to get a happy, happy number for the cabin of the car, if you just go to the extreme cold or extreme hot, you'll also see that the problem will go away. But if you shut off your climate controls and everything's fixed, then Mark is right. It's a matter of just adjusting the climate controls more drastically to the hot side or the cold side, and that'll minimize the problem that you have. Now, has the car ever died, or is it just the fluctuation of idle?
Just the fluctuation of idle, never died. And like I said, it just, when you come to a stop, at, you know, a stop sign, and I'll just do it like one or two for 5 seconds, and then it'll be kicked back up. I can click on the tachometer that it does go down a little bit too.
Okay.
When I come to a complete stop. But once at a complete stop, it's fine.
Okay. Are you the primary driver?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I can't think of anything else. I don't. You can put some gas. It's not going to hurt you to put gasoline additives, but the gasoline additives are going to clean up the injectors a little bit. You have to use them numerous times in order to get a complete picture. And during that period of time, if the car is not in climate control mode, you won't see the issue, and then you think, okay, it's fixed. Next time you go into climate control, then it's back again. So, but you can try those kinds of bottled kind of repairs. They'll oftentimes work, but based on the Versa, 12,000 miles, I'm thinking no sense in doing any of the 40,000-mile stuff for an irregular idle. Let's just go to climate controls, okay?
Now, would any of that additive be any better? Like, you get a bottle of that Chevron Tecron, or is there any kind of additive that you want to stay away from, per se, or are they all pretty much the same?
No, anything that says cleans, and they're all going to say that they clean the throttle blades and the intake valves. And that's it. And let me explain. As the valve opens and closes and lets fuel and air in, because the injector is going to go and add a little bit of fuel. So as the valve opens and closes, on the backside of the valve, we oftentimes will get some carbon buildup, and the carbon acts like a sponge. Well, a lot of time on direct ignition, we're going to spray the injector right at the back of the valve. And so when we do that, then it bakes that gasoline on the backside of the valve, and pretty soon we get like a sponge effect of this carbon built up on the backside of the valve. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't cold start well, and it has to warm up a bunch before it really runs good. And so that's when we start spraying caustic stuff inside the injectors. That's when we start doing it. But again, but you can try any of that. The Tecron is something that improves the gasoline quality. This isn't a gasoline quality issue. It has nothing to do with that. Otherwise, you'd see it in the higher RPMs. So, Mark, when I'm driving down the freeway and I'm doing 55 miles an hour and it's time for me to pass a person in front of them, I put it to the floor and there's a little da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da. That's kind of the engine mist caused by, you know, some kind of dirty valves or injectors problems. That's typically what you have, and I don't think that's what you described.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, you bet, Steve. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, if you have an issue, let me tell you what it's like up in Payson. The last couple of mornings, it's been somewhere between 7 and 9 degrees. Now, I've got to bring the horses into the barn, and so I went to Home Depot and I bought this infrared lamp to just give the horses a little bit of warmth. But yesterday afternoon, I was working out in the barn, and twice I left this same gate open, and twice the horses got loose, and we have about 4 acres in fence. So it takes me the better part of an hour by myself to gather up those horses, and sometimes I can herd them, but I'm not nearly as fast as I used to be. Sometimes I just have to get them one at a time. And so you go load up your pockets with carrots, walk out into the pasture, wave the carrots. My dad says, the horses are colorblind. They don't know what the carrot looks like. I said, but it's orange. They're colorblind, you kid. So anyway, and then during the day, it warms up to a balmy 36 to 42. So it's been that way for the last probably 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And we still have snow on the ground, but it's gone. But during the high time, we had 6 inches of snow on the ground. So we're 93 miles north. It's a great place to come, obviously, in the wintertime for you skiers. You can go continue on up north. And in the summertime, it's a great place to hide from the heat. And so that was brought to you by the Payson Chamber of Commerce, free of charge, from Mark Salem. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. When you take your car in for repair, it's a good idea to write down a note to the shop. Now, here's the problem. You're going to go in and you're going to talk to a service writer, and you're going to say, it doesn't run very well. They're going to type, it doesn't run very well. And then that's all. There's no give and take. There's no when, cold, hot, fast, slow. When doesn't it do it? And when does it do it? None of that conversation typically occurs. But you can make it happen. What you do is you just type yourself a note and just say to the technician or whatever, and talk to the guy or gal that's going to work on your car. And it sounds like, hi, my name is Steve. On my Versa, I have a problem that I've got an idle fluctuation. This is how you make it happen. Get in the car, start it up, turn on the heater, go to fan speed 3, and have the floor vent, direct the heat to the floor vent. Then get out on the road and drive it about 30, 35, 40 miles an hour. And don't go too hard on the throttle, don't go too soft on the throttle, and you'll feel the car kind of jerking. And the minute it starts doing that, then you'll know what to do. Here's my cell phone number. Call me if you have any questions. Everybody wants to talk to the technician that's working on their cars, and that's the only way you're going to make that happen. The shop is not going to call the technician off the floor to come and talk to you, because those kinds of conversations typically last 10 to 30 minutes, and that's 10 to 30 minutes worth of unbillable time. And, of course, if we do bill the time, the customer's not too happy about that. So if you want to talk to the technician, every shop, every technician has a cell phone. They're going to dial star 67 so that you don't get their number, and they're going to call you. So if you want to do that, that's the easiest way to accomplish the goal, is just say, I have a problem with the drivability of the car. It happens only when it's cold. It happens for the first 15 or 20 minutes of driving. Would you call me for more details? And see what happens. Because, see, he's going to get the car after you dropped it off, and it's already going to be warm. And he's probably going to say, can I just keep it overnight and be the first one to start it tomorrow morning? And you can say, yes, that's fine. That's kind of how it works. So if you want to shortcut that front office kind of triangle there, that just you just get in this revolving door kind of thing, then just leave a note. Tape it to the windshield, something like that. And tape it to the steering wheels. Tape it to the entertainment center. Just, hey, Mr. Technician, or something like that. If you have any questions, call me. Here's my symptoms in writing. We have a caller. Who might that be?
Hello to Bob.
Bob, good morning.
Morning, Mark. Mark, have you had experience with disabling the active fuel management, say like on a 2014 GMC with a 5.3?
Bob, it's against the law to do that, and if you think I'm going to admit to that on the radio, you got another thing coming. The answer is there are different ways to change that active fuel management, and there's, I mean, I don't know if you've Googled it on the internet or something like that, but there's lots of information out there.
1 minute.
And you can typically you can use a programmer, but you can spend anywhere from $150 to $400 or $500 for a programmer to have the option. And some of them do have that option, and some of them don't have that option. So the active fuel management is obviously where they're killing cylinders, right? It's, you start with a V8 and you end up with four cylinders sometimes?
Yes.
Okay, so you can...
The article I read says that can shorten your transmission life. I'm sorry, but because when it goes to four cylinders, the torque converter is always slipping. There's always like a slight slippage, so you don't detect as much when the cylinder, when the engine goes from eight down to four, and that shortens the transmission life.
That's bull. That's just flat BS. Bob... Your torque converter is going to slip the entire time you're driving until it goes into lockup, which is above 55 miles an hour. It's slipping all the time. It's slipping when you're stopped. It's slipping when you're moving until it locks up, and that's usually at 55 or north of 55. So whatever you read, I'm not taking issue with you, but whatever you read's flat bull crap. That's all there is to it. If that's the reason why you want to do your active fuel management, that's not a good reason at all. That's just not a good reason at all. So the only time it's not slipping is when it's locked up, and that's when you're doing high speeds. And you're, and even then, if you throttle up hard, it'll come out of lockup and go into fifth gear or fourth gear until it gets your power band going. And then when you reach the speed you want, then it'll lock up again. The lockup is good because it locks the engine to the transmission, but... Now, this is one of those Google wives tales, and you got some guy telling everybody that this is why you need to buy it. Never mind, he's the distributor for half the United States for some gizmo he's selling, and it's going to shorten the life of your transmission. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. Gil answers the phone, and I'll be back right after this. We were talking about transmissions in the last caller, but the best transmission shop in town is Automatic Transmission Exchange. He's at 40th Street in Washington, been around since 1968, and Phil and his staff are really good at what they do. So if you have a problem, call them up, make an appointment, and if you can practice making the problem happen, that will save you lots of money. If you can show them what you're talking about, and then they're going to want to switch places with you, and they're going to want to drive it, and you'll notice that they know how to move the shifter, and they're going to gently apply the brake, and they're going to do a variety of gymnastics, and they're going to go, okay, and then they're going to know what it is. So that's Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington. Jim, we got three callers. Jim's first. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a quick question. My daughter, my oldest daughter up in Wisconsin, has a 2008 Pontiac Torrent, which I've never heard of. And she called the other night and was telling me about, she noticed about a dime-sized drip of oil on the garage floor. And then a little bit later, it was about the size of a quarter. So she took it in to a mechanic that she didn't know. and they told her it was the timing cover. It was a timing cover leak, and I just wanted to know roughly how much that would cost to fix.
Well, it's a waste of your time to ask that question, because nobody's going to spend the 20 minutes to look up the VIN number and to determine which motor you have by the VIN number and then be able to do the estimate on labor, and they're only going to be able to guess on parts. Let's do something different. Have her call one of the local auto parts stores in her geographical area and ask them, what's the name of a shop that's a good, honest, dependable shop? I'd like to take my car in for an oil change. That's all. And then they'll tell her. So her next oil change, she goes to them. And she says to them, there's this little drip on the floor. Would you take a look at it and see what it is? The timing cover doesn't drip. It seeps and it seeps and it seeps, and then it grows to a drip, and it's a long process. So, and then the question really is what color's the fluid? Is it auburn? Is it red? Is it green? Is it brown? Is it amber? The fluid level or the color, and that's something you just touch your finger to the drip and you put it on your fingernail and you look at it. This is not something that's going to cause her to break down. There's some kind of obviously some kind of an oil leak. It could be something that we need to tighten up a clamp. It could be a valve cover gasket. It could be a front seal or rear seal. It could be lots of different. It could be power steering. So we just need somebody to look at it. And also, if she could triangulate where the leak is at. So she says, I put a little piece of tape right there on the hood. Right below that is where the leak is at. When people do that, we want to hug them, because they've just narrowed our search down from trying to find a red car in Arizona to trying to find a red car at a specific address. So it just makes the world a lot better. And if she has an oil change place, then she just takes it back to them and says, would you take a look at this? But really, what has to happen first is she has to see it where it's parked, and she has to kind of triangulate. It's 21 inches from the front bumper towards the windshield, and it's 17 inches from the fender towards the engine compartment. And then she puts a piece of tape there, and she's home free. This isn't that big of a deal.
I was just curious because I asked her, I said, now, exactly what did they say? And they said that it was a timing cover leak, and they said that it would cost about $1,000 to fix. And I just thought that was pretty expensive.
Well, if it's a V6, no, it isn't. That would, the $1,000 estimate coming from my shop, my guys would have said, we've got a cover in there that we don't need, know that we need, and we've also got a chain and gears that we don't know if we need. So if we take the cover off and the cover's the part of the problem, I got to replace the cover. But if I pull the cover off and you've got a chain and gears that's all chewed up, it's time to change it. Let me fix the oil leak with the chain and the gears. So I'm not that $1,000, and I want to be honest with you, at my shop we overbid everything because I don't want to call you back. I hate the idea that I bid it for $350 and I have to call you back and move my estimate to $900. I hate that. So I think, first of all, what color is it? Now, here's what she could do, too. She takes the drip on the driveway, and she puts it on her fingernail. Hopefully it's a clear fingernail, okay? Then she opens up the hood, and she takes the power steering dipstick, and she puts it on her other finger, and then she takes the engine oil, and she puts it on the other finger. And by the time she moves around, she'll be able to identify what that oil came from. And all she has to do is wipe her fingernails off. Or she can actually put it on a spoon. You know what I'm saying?
So, I hear you.
All right. Well, you got daughters just like mine. To just tell her, Mark's daughters can both do that with their eyes closed. So only because their daddy's been in the car business all these times. So good luck to you, buddy. Good luck to you. All righty. Tom, good morning. How can we help you today?
Good morning. I have one question and then I'd like a recommendation.
Okay.
The question is, friends of ours have a Mercury Grand Marquis 2003 that's been parked in our garage for 2 years, and we all want it started and out. What's the process of doing that correctly? And the recommendation is a good repair shop in Sun City.
Auto Dynamics, Grand Avenue, and let me look it up here. I shouldn't off the top of my head, but I'm going to tell you. I know it's a Grand Avenue, and doggone it. Oh, yeah, here it is. Grand Avenue, north side of Grand and 99th Avenue. But let me tell you, this is easy. We're just going to make sure the battery's charged up, and we probably start this right up. And if you start it right up, you get the idle up. You hold the idle up. You're inside the car. It's in park. You just hold the idle up for about 3 or 4 minutes. Let go of the throttle. If it'll idle at that point, you're home free. Put it in reverse and back it out. And the best thing that can happen is kind of like a horse you take out of the barn. Go exercise it. Go drive it around a little bit and then get on the freeway and do this or do that. But I'm quite sure it's going to start up because it's fuel injected. And let me give you another hint. You turn the key to the on position. Key to the on position, not crank. And, you wait it just a second or two, and then you crank it. Then every time you do that, I want you just to go to the on position because I want to prime the fuel pump. So the delay between on and crank is the fuel pump's on. So each time you do that, and I'll bet on the second or third try, boom, it'll start right up.
So we shouldn't worry about old fuel or anything like that?
No. Let someone else worry about the old fuel, because really and truly the best thing you could do with that thing and put it out, get out on the freeway and go about 50 miles at 75 miles an hour up the I-10, turn around and come back, and then fill it up with clean gasoline. That's the best you could do for that car.
Okay, well, if we get pulled over, I'll refer it to you.
No, you just tell them it's your neighbor's car and you didn't know the license plates were. If you're not the owner of the car, typically they don't write you. But you just say, Henry's an old guy and I'm just exercising his car. I had no idea that he had license plates. I'll take it back to him right now, sir or ma'am, whatever that happens to be.
Okay, one more thing that just came to my mind. What about the tires? They're only flat on the bottom. Do you think they're still viable?
Yes, I do, because I know you're not going to put five of your girlfriends in and go to Flagstaff. That's for given. But yes, after you get it on the road.
She lives in Prescott.
Okay. After you get it on the road, it depends on what the future of the car is. Then an oil change with an examination of all the fluids, the belts, the hoses, and the tires is the appropriate thing. And that's called an oil change with an inspection. And that's what's appropriate at the next thing, and that's when the tires and all the fluids and stuff get checked. And, Keith, don't you go anywhere, because you're going to be my first caller, I promise, on the other side of this break. We'll be right back. Well, good morning, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're going to go straight to Keith like we promised we would. Keith, you have my unadulterated attention.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mark. I have a 2010 Jaguar XF, and it's got 95,000 miles on it, runs and looks like new, and it's due pretty quick for a set of tires. And I'm wondering, because I'm pretty sure we've owned it since 2013, that the wheel pressures, the valve stem pressure sensors have never been changed, or the batteries have never been changed in them on this car. At this, 10 years, I'm thinking, just to be preventative, while the tires are off, they ought to put new pressure sensors in the rims. Am I correct? How much longer could they possibly last?
Well, whether you do it now or you do it later, the cost is the same. So it doesn't really make any difference if you need tires, if you do it now or you do it later. The process is still the same. I think, let me ask you a question. Have you seen any fluctuation? I need to hear that you've seen the tires went from 36 one day and then you saw 41. Have you seen, or are they all stuck at different numbers and never move? Which is it?
Okay, this car is too early of a model to actually give a pressure readout in pounds. It's it's like a dummy light. It tells you they're too low. Or it'll also, if I had them, it likes, says too high, it'll go the pressures.
Okay.
High.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. And in that case, what we would typically do is we would look at the door sticker and it says 28 on the tires, and we'd drop them down to 20 and we'd go drive them. And if it said they're too low, then we know the sensors are alive, we know that they're awake, and we know that they're working. So at that particular point, then if you want to replace the sensors, you can. The best place in town would be Discount Tire. They deal with this issue all day long. And so if you went there...
Do those have little batteries in each stem?
I don't know the answer to that till you take it apart. But chances are that, yes, the stem itself is going to have a battery and a sensor in it. Or it could be that the sensor has got a big band around the inside of the wheel, and the sensor sits in the middle of the wheel, has nothing to do with the valve stem. So you have to take it apart to figure that out.
Okay. All right, sir.
I think what I'd do if I were you is I'd add 10 pounds to them and see if you get a light that it's overinflated. And
I have, and they all came on. It will. No, there'll be one will pop on, and then it'll go off, and then another one sometime will pop on and go off. It doesn't like. I like to put about 45 in them, and it seems to not like that. It'll start saying they're too high, even though the tire on the car says it can easily hit up to 50.
Okay, well, let me explain. The tire has an operating range, and just for sake of argument, it's from 25 to 45 PSI, okay, just for the sake of argument. The manufacturer is going to spec out the tires, and it's going to say, in order for these tires to carry the load on each corner that they're appropriately placed on, I need to have 35 pounds of air in these tires. 35 pounds. So it sets the parameters at 35. So if it gets below 35, usually 5 or 10 pounds below, it'll come on. And then when it gets above, it comes on. In order for you to check the sensors, we got to go to the high side, and then we go to the low side. And typically, that can be done in a 24-hour period by just, and you can do it, overinflate them and go drive it and see that it says too high. Then underinflate them and go drive them. And then at that point, just go buy your tires. You're done. There's nothing to fix.
That's what I wanted to know. I couldn't imagine that some little NiCad battery or lithium battery in that valve stem could possibly last in this heat and stuff out here for 13 years. Unimaginable.
You're wrong because your own science says you're wrong. They're still working.
Right.
But you can.
You can
certainly have somebody put new batteries or new sensors in there or whatever. You can do that. If I were you, I wouldn't do that because what one tire is going to answer is the rest of them are going to do the same. So if you have three of them flashing, and I bet it's not even telling you which tire it is. It's just flashing you a number or a message that says you got a problem, and now you got to find which tire is different than the rest. That's just the old technology from a decade ago. Today it tells you which one it is. But this isn't that big of a deal. You're best served at Discount. They've walked this path before, and they can answer all your questions. And if you want them to replace all the stems and the batteries and the sensors, they can do that. But I got to run, Keith. Thank you very, very much, and thank you for holding as long as you did. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Blackwell Automotive is up at 40th Street and Greenway. He's a no good son of a gun. I don't know. His wife, Polly, is one of the finest real estate agents there is in town. But Tom is just a scoundrel. He's just a scoundrel, but he does know how to fix cars. So if you're looking for a shop in Northeast Phoenix, Scottsdale area, Blackwell would be my recommendation, 40th Street and Greenway. And as with all the shops on my list, you need to call and get an appointment. There's a lot of us that sometimes are booked a week in advance, and there's some of us that are even longer than that. We do our best to control that and make sure that we always have a couple of wild card appointments in our hip pocket for the cars that are towed in. And so they don't have to wait. We've already got that pocket. But Blackwell's busy, but he's good. 40th Street in Washington, and we'll be right back. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, we're here till noon talking about car repair stuff. We've talked about all kinds of stuff already this morning. If you have a car or a truck, or if you want to talk about oil, or if you want to talk about coolant or spark plugs, any of that kind of stuff, then 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If there's an argument you have with your dad or your brother or your next door neighbor about whether or not variable valve timing has to do with this or that, then give us a call. We'll help you do the best we can. Kurtz Automotive is up at I-17 and Bell Road. Years ago, I sent someone to Kurtz who this lady had been told that she needed a new engine. and she had been told by three other shops in the geographical area. So I said, you got nothing to lose. So I called Kurtz and I said, do me a favor, would you look at this car? Just give it a, just look at it, touch it, pull the dipstick, whatever, and let me know what you think. So he calls me back and he goes, it needs an oil pressure switch. And I said, what's the symptom? And he goes, the red light's on, oil pressure light's on. I said, does it actually have bad oil pressure? And he goes, no. He says, the sensor that's reporting to the dashboard says it is, but in reality it has 30 to 45 pounds of oil pressure. It's not clatter and everything's fine. I said, so how much? And he goes, it's going to be like $30, the switch and the labor. And I said, okay, I'll pay for it. You go ahead and do it, and then you just give her back the car. So he does, and he gives her back the car, and she calls me, and she says, you know, I know that you didn't replace my motor, but what happened? So I explained to her, and I said, we're just going to go for the next 30 days and see what happens. So she called back in, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, and she says, it's fixed. It hasn't come on. It had come on a regular basis. And the most important thing my husband said you said was, is that there's no clattering, no lifter clatter. That's the indication that you have actually lost oil pressure. So Kurtz was a hero, and he continues to do that kind of stuff. It's I-17 in Bell, northeast corner, Kurtz Auto Repair. When we, every once in a while, I meet someone in business that just impresses the heck out of me. We needed a cover for our chimney up in Payson because of the snow and the rain. And some of the water comes down through the chimney and has caused some damage. So I wanted to design this cover that just slides right over the top of the chimney. And so my wife ended up at Covers Plus in Mesa. The name of the company is Covers Plus. Now Rex and Christy own it and operate it, and they, with our drawings, they built the most beautiful cover in the world out of this stuff that is impervious to the sunshine and the heat and the ultraviolet rays and all that kind of stuff, and it just slides right down on the chimney, exactly what we wanted. So I went in and I paid for it, and you know what? It was less than they said, by a couple of bucks. They were really nice. They explained everything to us. And I said, well, what do you guys do? And he goes, we do boats and we do older model cars. We do covers for grills and for chimneys and for golf carts and for off-road vehicles. And we also do gym equipment, work pads. And I said, well, then what is it that you don't do? And they said, we do not do any upholstery work with cars with airbags in the seats. We do not do household furniture. We do not do outdoor patio cushions because you can buy those at Walmart. And we do not do headliners. So at the end of the day, if you have a boat that you need interior work, or an older model car, seat covers, or a golf cart seat or workout pads, then Covers Plus is the place you should go. If, just keep that in mind. They're in Mesa. They're on Arizona Avenue. And I think it's Arizona Avenue and Broadway or something like that. My wife drove, and I was just teasing her the whole time. But we were really happy. That's a free commercial because they're really good people, and I did not ask for it, nor would I have accepted a discount. So the idea is we got what we wanted, and we thought it was pretty special. We had looked quite a while before we identified them, and we actually called a canvas manufacturer, and he told us about them. And so it was kind of hard to find them, but at the end of the day, the job they did for us was just tremendous. And they didn't know anything about what I just told you. So I just feel like if I run across a really good business that really exhibits all the traits of a person that A, has been in business a long time, B, is responsible, C, does what they say they're going to do, and D, gives you a good product at a good price, what else could you do? So just remember, Covers Plus, auto, bolt, business, upholstery, and any kind of seating. Going back to cars, the most important part of your maintenance on your car is to do regular oil changes. And the oil change is an examination of your car. When you bring your car to my shop and 100,000 other shops in town, I would say 90% of the shops in town, we are going to change your oil and your filter. We're going to grease whatever fittings you have underneath your car. We're also going to check your tire pressure and adjust it appropriately. We're also going to look for other issues, wiper blades that are scratching your windshield, or the back wiper blade on the rear deck window that hasn't, you know, had a rubber piece in it in 100 years. We're going to look at the fluid colors of your transmission, your power steering, your brake. We're going to check your brake fluid for moisture to see if there's too much moisture in it. We're going to do lots of inspection because that's what it is. It's an inspection that looks forward between 3 and 10,000 miles, depending on what oil you use. So if you have a conventional oil and you're changing it every 3,000 miles, we're just trying to see, okay, we don't see anything that's going to give you a problem. for the next 3,000 miles. Anything that's obvious now. Obviously, you could blow a tire, you could kiss a curb, you could run over a nail. Obviously, the air conditioning compressor can lock up, and we don't have the ability to look into the future. However, if the clutch on the air conditioning compressor is discolored, if the clutch has been burnt up, then we know the compressor's bad. And we know it's having a tough time. So then the question is we talk to the customer and say, hey, when you turn on the air conditioning, does it squeal? Yeah, it does. It squeals a lot. And then it just goes away and everything is fine. Has it always done that? No, it's just started. Well, when did it start? Well, it's for sure this year, but it was the tail end of last year as well. Okay, well, the compressor's got a discolored clutch on it. We know that that's the problem. And the bad news is it's a $1,200 repair because we need to replace the air conditioning compressor, the accumulator, the orifice tube, and in your particular case, we have to replace the condenser. And the condenser is a component that's in front of the radiator because as the clutch comes apart and as the compressor starts beating itself to death, most of that metal ends up in the condenser. And what we don't want to do is put a new compressor only on your car and then the refrigerant, as it passes through the condenser, redeposits all that trash back into the system underneath the hood. That's a bad idea. So it's one, and it's one plus one equals two. Who? And we have a caller. Who might that be?
Say hello to Victor.
Victor, hang on just a second. I should give the phone number, 602-508-0960. The lines are open. There's four of them now because Victor's got one. Remember, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, then that's the one you call. Victor, how can I help you?
I've got a problem with a vehicle.
Okay.
It's a 2006 Durango with a Hemi. 181,000. Engine lights turned on. Auto store. They said it's misfiring. They recommend plugs and coils. And they said possibly a computer. And I'm thinking that this could really go way out of bounds for me. Can you? Is there something else that could be there?
I don't like the answer at all. Not your answer, but I don't like the answer at all. If that was my staff, my panties would be wadded up something fierce. So what I hear you saying is you got a misfire code, and they told you, well, we need to do spark plugs and coils, but it could be something really bad, and after that. Well, then why don't you go back to school and figure out exactly what it is, Mr. Repairman? You mean you're incapable of identifying which cylinder it is? You're incapable of swapping the coil from 4 to 5 and 5 to 4 and seeing if the problem moves? You're incapable of pulling 3 spark plugs and looking at them and looking at the bad one? You're incapable, so you want to do a shotgun repair. You want to stand back and take a shotgun and shoot the motor, and everywhere a BB hits, we're going to replace the parts. Is that the guy you want on your car?
No.
Okay. What part of town do you live in?
I'm around Surprise.
Okay. Just go to marksalem.com and look at the map. I think you got 38th Avenue and Indian School. You might have to come into town from Surprise. But look there. There's a list of shops there that I know. Every one of those old gray-haired guys with a couple of gray hairs in their ears and their nose, I know they can find out which cylinder it is and what exactly the problem is. So let me just throw something else out. So we go in there and we find out that you have a bad spark plug. We pull it out and it's really, really worn. Well, we pull the one next to it out and it's really, really warm. Under those circumstances, the shop would say, should say, and probably will say, your spark plugs are 108,000 miles old. They're really worn. This one has just got the widest gap of all of them. That's why the computer said that was misfiring. So while I'm there, do you want me to replace the rest of the spark plugs? I mean, you're going to have some labor and spark plugs, but the problem is your number 3 cylinder, and here's the spark plug, and I'm going to give you the number 3 spark plug, and I can fix just that check engine light, but I think we might have that same check engine light down the road. That's a good conversation to have.
Yes. That's what I was figuring. I figured this is just going to snowball on me. I got to get somebody else's opinion. That's why I called you.
Now, without saying the name of the shop, was the shop a performance shop, or was it a general repair shop, or was it a chain store shop? Don't you say the name. Just answer yes or no.
It was a chain store.
Okay. A lot of times when you have a chain store that just focuses on tires or just on oil changes or on light-duty maintenance and stuff like that, this is not within their area, but they do know that a shotgun repair, they're probably going to be able to fix it by guessing, and they're guessing with your money. I suggest you're better served by having a doctor look at it and figuring out which cylinder it is and going from there. Now, he could give you bad news. He could call you and say, Victor, we've lost about 40 pounds of compression in number 4. And I've moved the coil to number 5, and I switched 4 and 5 coil and spark plugs, and the problem stayed with the cylinder. So I know it's not the coil. I know it's not the spark plug. I ran a compression test, or what we call an active compression test, and there's a problem here. So I'm going to do an air check on it. I'm going to see if I've got air coming through the exhaust valve or the intake valve. But right now, we've got a compression problem in this number cylinder. Now, I can put a new spark plug back in there, and you can drive this thing God knows how much longer. But all you're going to have is an intermittent miss, and you're going to have an intermittent code. Or you can pay to have the motor fixed. But for right now, let me just do the air test. Let me inject some air into the cylinders. The both valves are closed, and let me find out what's going on. And then you say yes or no. That's how it works.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Thank you, Victor. Thank you very much. Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School, would be a guy that this would be no problem at all. Bob and Ellen own Larry Harker's Auto. They've been around since 1967. They're at 38th Avenue and Indian School. I told you that. And there's been many, many times in the history of Mark Salem that I've sent cars to them, and they've pulled a rabbit out of their hat. They know how to fix it. Bob is in charge of the shop. Ellen is in charge in the front counter. And I'm going to tell you guys something. Don't go in there thinking that you're going to out-talk the lady at the front counter, because that isn't going to happen. Ellen knows as much about car repair as any lady I know. Even my own wife would place second to Ellen. And my own wife and I have been in business for 38, 42 years. I forget. I don't do the math well when I'm talking. But we've been in the car repair business since 1979. How's that? 21 and 23. So that's 44 years? Yeah. We've been together since in car repair that long. But Ellen is good. So if you're in the area of anywhere near the area, 38th Avenue and Indian School, and you've got a hard problem, it's worth calling up, stopping by, talking to them about it, and then making an appointment to bring it back later. Or if they can look at it then you can do that as well. So that's Larry Harker's Auto. Car repair is difficult, and what's really difficult is you don't know if the shop's capable of doing the job, or are they doing a shotgun repair. I have an overheat. Well, we need to replace the electric cooling fans. Oh, the problem's still there. Well, let's replace the thermostat. Oh, the problem's still there. Let's flush your cooling system. Oop, the problem's still there.
1 minute.
There's no conversation, but here's what a senior guy does. Is it overheat? Where is the gauge? Well, it's just past the half. So is that the overheat range? Yes. No, it isn't. Half to three quarters is normal. Well, it never used to run there. Okay, well, that's fine. It never used to run there. But until it gets close to the 7/8 mark on your gauge, until it gets close to the red zone on your gauge, then there's no harm, no foul. So do you want me to look your cooling system over? I'll check the coolant. I'll check the thermostat. I'll check the electric cooling fans. I can do that. It'll probably take anywhere from $100 to $150 to thoroughly check over your cooling system. But to be honest with you, if your needle's between the halfway and the three-quarter mark, I'm uncomfortable taking your money, because it's in the widely accepted zone where we want it, half to three quarters. And so what do you want me to do? 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. If you'd like to join us, the phone lines are wide open. If you have a car question, or if you have an argument with somebody about who should do this or who should do that, or when you should do this or when you should do that, then we welcome you. Give us a call, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Can you get those headphones on? Okay. Are you ready? All righty. Hold on. I've got a guest here with me. This is my wife, and we've been married 417 years,
At least.
At least. Feels that way. Go ahead and say it. You always say that anyway.
No, you do.
Okay. Oftentimes on this radio station and other places, they talk about the Upside Gas Card.
Yes, it's an app.
It's an app.
It's an app that you download on your phone. If you're in a particular area, you hit find, you know.
Geographically, yeah, the lowest gas price.
Yeah, find gas prices around me or whatever.
Okay.
And then you can pick which gas station you want to go to. You hit claim offer, and then you've already preloaded your credit cards, and it just asks you which one you want to use, and then you just fill up with gas. And probably 24 hours later, you get a credit back on the gas that you just bought. So you're going to pay the pump price, but then they credit you through your credit card or PayPal or however. You just kind of get a running total through your app, and then you can cash out whenever you want to.
Okay, now when you and I do it, we're in Payson. And so the first thing that you'll do is you'll go in and look to see the biggest discount.
That's right.
And that will be between, if I'm wrong, 2 cents a gallon to upwards to 10, 12 cents?
Well, I've gotten up to 25 cents. Although right now with the gas prices coming down, it's not as much as it was when the gas prices were over $4 for a regular.
Okay, so it's a nickel a gallon discount that's going to be deposited in your checking or whatever account upwards to what's the top end we've seen?
I think 25 cents is
okay.
Been
is that
biggest.
The Circle K over there by the Ace Hardware?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So when we're looking for gas, whether it's the diesel, my diesel truck, or whether it's the gasoline for your car, you just get on your app, and what we're looking for is really the lowest price, but then the biggest discount, right?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. So you find the lowest price, the biggest discount, and then you claim it.
Uh-huh.
And then I pull in, I use my Discover card, you know that, and you've already told them that this is where we're going to do it, and then. But this is what I want to ask you. Why does the money go into your account when we're using my Discover card?
That's because it's my app. I have it on my phone, so I have control.
Okay, so in a month's worth of time, just guess, I'm not asking you to be specific, what kind of a rebate do we have?
Yeah, maybe $7 or $8. It just depends on how many times we've gone up and down the mountain and filled up, yes.
Okay, on the average fill-up, like on your car, we do your car a lot.
Right.
It's a Ford Explorer.
Right.
And so, like, what's...
$2 or $3.
Two or $3.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Like, right now, I think the most I've gotten recently is 19 cents a gallon.
Okay.
So if I take 15 gallons, you know, something like that. So
okay,
it's
$3. That's like, $3. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I just wanted, because they do advertise on KKNT that.
Right.
And we did hear it, and so we decided to try it. Now, we also have another one. Don't we have another gas app?
We do. I haven't used that. It's called Open Roads, and I haven't really used that yet. It appears that it's for, like, the motorhomes and stuff when you're going to get in the back and fill up with diesel and that type
of
thing.
Hundreds of gallons sometimes. Because
right.
Our diesel holds well over 100 gallons.
I think so.
It's more than 50 on each saddle tank, I think.
I think it might be 50 on
each
yes.
saddle tank, so 100 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a savings as well. Now, we also use Gas Buddy, the app, to find the cheapest gas.
That's right.
So we go in, when we're driving around, like in Scottsdale and Tempe and Phoenix, we just go to Gas Buddy, and we find the lowest gas, and it tells us where it's at, and then if you push a button, it'll take you there.
Yeah. And, I mean, we stay in our geographical area. You're not going to drive 5 miles to save 2 cents, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And most of them right in the area that we typically fill up are about the same price anyway. We do have one up here that's way out of line in Payson, but most of the time they're all the same price.
But you know, on my diesel, we, on a regular basis, we go to Tempe and Chandler. And Tempe to the business and Chandler to our house. So there's that Chevron station at the end of Kyrene and the 202 that's in the Indian Reservation.
Right.
Is it fair for me to say it's between 50 and 75 cents cheaper a gallon than what we have up here in Payson?
At least. Yeah.
And when I go in there, I can fill up, and sometimes it'll cost me $180 to fill up the tank. It's a big tank, but it lasts a long time.
Sure.
And I only go there. Now, they don't take either of our cards.
They don't, no.
But they're 50 to 60 to 70 cents cheaper per gallon than Tempe is, than Chandler is, and certainly that Payson is.
Yeah, and even if we had the app, it wouldn't be cheaper than that, or if they used the app. So they just put the prices very low.
All right, so just one more time, what's the name of the app you use?
Upside.
Upside. So they go to upside.com, something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then they just fill it out. They get a number. They get a card and all that kind of stuff. And then it's pretty easy.
Right.
I know I get out and pump the gas. You have your phone out. Mm-hmm. And you claim it before I pull the nozzle.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like you said, what, 10 hours later?
A day? Usually it's about a day.
A day later, you
24
get,
hours.
You get your rebate.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it
you can keep
you
track of that.
Right. Okay. And I think we've used it 6 months, 8 months. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I think we've saved maybe $120 over that period of time between you and I filling up. And we don't use it every single time because you don't usually use it.
Right.
So it's mainly...
Just
mean,
you.
Yeah, mean.
Well, $150 only represents one time at the hairdresser, so, I mean, it still pays for that.
Oh, it doesn't quite do that. I'm just teasing.
I thought you were going to use bad words. I thought you were going to call everybody, use those names you call me all the time when I tease you about that.
No, not today.
There's a couple thousand haircuts that it'd pay for me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, well, I just wanted to talk about the upside ad and the gas stuff that we're saving and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, every little bit helps. And on that... Upside, you have a profile and you can go from gas to diesel. Like, you know, if you're going to fill up, I change it to the diesel or I go back to regular. And you
okay.
can do that. You don't have to have two apps or each of you don't have to have an app.
So you can do my truck. Well, the truck is the only one. That truck and the motorhome are the only ones that we have that do diesel.
Right.
But as far as gas is concerned, we've got your car and then we've got a bunch of other gasoline-powered vehicles.
Sure, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank
okay.
you. I'm going to turn off your mic so when you set down your headphone, it doesn't bust all of our ears. Anyway, strictly diesel service and repairs up on I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. Nate is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in your life. He's also one of the biggest guys you'll ever meet in your life. He is tall and wide. He's the nicest man in the whole wide world, and he has hands like tennis rackets. But when he shakes your hand, he's not hurting you, but you just can feel his sincerity. When it comes to diesel on the north side of town, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road, there's nobody better. He also sells additional diesel parts on his website 24 hours a day, and you can look at cold air kits, and you can look at different fuel controls and modules and stuff like that, and he's good. But when it comes to when your Ford, your Chevy, or your Dodge is running poorly, has a bunch of codes, is leaking diesel fuel, won't start, won't stay running, different colored smoke coming out of the back, then strictly diesel service and repair is really the place that you probably should go to. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The phones are wide open. You have a 1 in 5 chance if you have a car question, and I'm especially good when the husband and wife are arguing about something to do with an automobile. And ladies, I can be purchased for about $1.50, and I'll always side with you. And guys, you just need to know that in advance, but of course I'm just teasing you. 602-508-0960. The most important thing that I want to bring across to you is that I don't want you to pay a premium for a different kind of fuel or a different kind of oil or a different kind of part. Because in reality, I've explained many, many times before that there is a significant, you can get a starter with 40 different boxes around it, but in reality, it was made by one company somewhere in China, somewhere in Europe, somewhere in Africa, and it was put in 30 different boxes. So when you're looking at auto parts, even like wiper blades and stuff like that, when you look at auto parts, I don't want you to pay attention to the name on the box. I want you to pay attention to the price and the warranty. That's something that's important. In our parts department, we buy tens of thousands of dollars worth of parts almost every day, certainly every 2 days. And my instructions to them are is identify the different part numbers. See who locally has that part number, and the cheaper the price, the least my customer spends for it. So if I'm marking my parts up 30% or 40%, then the cheaper I buy it, the cheaper I'm going to sell it to you so that I make my percentage. So that's kind of what we do. There's four companies that pull oil out of the ground and make oil: Mobil, Shell, Phillips 66, and Chevron. That's it. No matter what can you buy, no matter what label it's got, it's going to have oil from Mobil, Shell, Phillips 66, or Chevron. That's all there is to it. I don't care what your dad told you. I don't care what you read in the Reader Digest magazine. The fact of the matter is those four companies pull oil out of the ground and make oil. And then as a result of that, they're peddled to everybody who then puts it in a can of their own. So for me, I'm a Chevron guy, and I'll tell you why. First of all, the Chevron guy local has been a friend of mine for 30 or 40 years. Second of all, we buy in bulk. So when we order oil, we might order 300 gallons or 1,200 quarts of oil. So we have big 300-gallon tanks. I think, I don't know, we have probably four or five of them. And then there's guns that hang from the ceiling in our shop so we can squirt four or five different weights of oil in your car. So we have a 30-weight gun, which is in the older cars. We have a 1040, a 1030. We have a 520 synthetic. We have a semi-synthetic. So we have all those different guns that we can squirt 5 quarts of oil in your car, and we can do it in less than 30 seconds, and we don't throw away the plastic bottles. We don't throw away the plastic lids or the cardboard boxes. So from an environmental point of view, that's the reason we've done what we've done. But we also have air off the roof, and we have water off the roof, and we have grease off the roof. So we have these hang-down units with 6 hoses from them, and one of the hoses has shop air in it. And for us, it's speedy. We can squirt 5 quarts of oil in your car in less than a minute or two, and it's going to take the shop a little longer than that to unscrew the lids, punch out the foil, and dump 5 quarts in your car. For me, it's a savings. For you, it's a savings, and we don't have to throw away all the plastic lids, the plastic bottles. We have to drain the bottles before we can throw them away, and all the cardboard it comes with. So it's kind of nice, and there's a lot of shops out there that are doing this as well. I'm not the only one, and I wasn't the first one. But the idea is, from an environmental point of view, I'll finish with this. I am the only auto repair shop in the state of Arizona that's been awarded as many environmental awards as we've won. And the reason why is this. 25, 30 years ago, when my wife and I borrowed a whole lot of money to build our shop, we were scared to death that it would turn into an environmental nightmare where the ground was contaminated and be worth nothing. So as a result of that, we put vegetable oil in our hoists, and we have drains where we have oil sands, water separators before it goes into the sewer, and so forth and so on. So I'm proud to tell you that even though I'm a cowboy, and even though I'm a car mechanic, I am an environmentalist. And our shop has all kinds of awards, and few other shops in the state of Arizona can match the environmental awards we've received. And we talk about it quietly, but more and more, it's becoming more and more important. So for the first time in a very long time, we're raising our hand and saying, hey, we are environmentally responsible. And there's 100 people that the oil companies and the like will tell you that. So anyway, if you have a car question, 602-508-0960. One more time, 602-508-0960. I didn't write that down, so that's the reason I said it out loud, is it's on tape so I can find it and know where my break was at. 602-508-0960. Let's go to the phones. Larry, you're up first. No, Corky. I'm sorry. I wrote that down wrong. I remember it's Corky. Corky, you're first.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. So I have a 2005 Tundra with a V8 engine in it. When I purchased the vehicle, it had 60,000 miles on it, and it was 10 years since the timing belt had been changed. So I immediately did all that timing belt work. I now have 170, and because of the cost of all the labor and stuff, I just wanted probably 20 limit, because they wanted to do it at every 90,000 miles. What's your thoughts on just running it for a little while longer?
Well, I think what you really need to do, if you did it before, just get the top cover off enough to where you can look at the back of the belt. So what you're looking for is, what is the condition of the back of the belt? Because the front of the belt has teeth in it, and that drives the pulleys. But the back of the belt runs on the flat part of the idlers and the tensioners. So if it's all cracked up on the back side of the belt, then I'd probably change it. If the back side of the belt looks kind of new, but a little shiny, but kind of new and not cracked, then I tell people 80 to 100,000 miles. You go past 100, there's a big risk that the belt breaks and it bends your valve, and you've just taken a $150 to $250 job and made it into the thousands of dollars. So,
well, the question is, don't they normally, when they do that, they put in a new water pump? That's what happened when I did it initially. They said, well, we'll put the water pump in. It's part of the whole deal.
Well,
and I said, okay. So,
well, here's the reason why. You're on a 1 to 10 scale, we're going in, we're starting at 1, and we're going in to a depth of 10. The water pump is a 9. So why don't I just do both of them at the same time? It saves you a heck of a lot of money, labor money, because you don't want to do the belt in April and you want to do the water pump in September because you're doing the job twice, the labor charges.
Right.
So we tell people all the time, let us do the timing belt, let us do the tensioners, let us do the lower hose because it's got to come off anyway. Let us do the upper hose. It's got to come off anyway. So let us do all the other work you can take advantage of. Well, the guy down the street bid it for $400 and you're at $800. Mm. Well, tell him to bid the belts and the hoses and the coolant and the water pump at the same time. And now let's compare apples to apples. So it's a cost savings associated with going in that deep in the motor. So, You've gone another. You said you put it in at 60, and you went to 170. So you're 110 into this new belt or the old belt. Have you done the water pump yet?
I did it when they did the initial belt.
Okay.
When they did the belt, they did all that.
How many bolts was the water pump? Six.
Oh, I don't know. I had it done by a shop, and it was like a $900 job. They did everything.
Okay. Well,
water pump belts.
Okay. Well, my point is that if you're going to go in there, then just spend a little bit more money, get a little bit more service, and then you can go another 100,000 miles with no problem. Otherwise, you're just rolling the dice. It's just that's all. I don't have a crystal ball, and if I did, I'd be in Las Vegas, and I wouldn't be on the radio talking to cars. So, but
okay. Thank you, Mark.
Don't forget this. 100,000 miles is four times around the equator. And now it's not four times out around the equator at 70 miles an hour because you're stopping and starting every day of your life. And then there's all these heat cycles. So you start it up in the morning and you go through a heat cycle and you take it to work. And then you start it up at lunch. Then you start it up at 5 to go home. Then you start it up at 10 to go to get groceries for your wife. So you got four or five heat cycles in the day. And on the mileage that goes with it. So we have to look at the big picture. And people lose track. 100,000 miles is four times around the equator. So, and you're thinking that you don't want me to replace your water pump that's already been four times around the equator because you want to say, because you don't want to spend an extra $110, which is just the price of the pump because the labor's already covered. So that kind of is the discussion that we typically have. And we don't twist, our industry is not supposed to twist your arms and make you do things that we think make sense. We'll just write down and document that you said no. That's all. Anyway, Corky, thank you very much. Thank you. Ron, you're up next. How can I help you?
2000 Chevy Silverado. About a week ago, I went to start it up and it died. I started it up, and as long as I kept it accelerated at high RPM, it was doing all right. But when I let it go down to idle, it died. It did that about seven times, where it kept running when I would let it idle. Is that something I can take to a mechanic, and he can check a few things, or what do you suggest?
Well, I can tell you it's not the fuel pump, because you're saying that it runs fine at a high RPM. And so it's not a fuel starvation problem, so strike one on the fuel pump. Number two, Mark, what would prevent it from running in the lower RPMs or idling? A huge vacuum leak. A huge vacuum leak, like the PCV valve line, like the EGR is stuck wide open, like the brake booster's bad. To be perfectly honest with you, the diagnosis on this is, for gray-haired guys like me, is pretty simple. It's not going to be tough. I'm going to guess intelligently based on what you've told me that we have a huge vacuum leak somewhere. And so the engine is sucking unadulterated air. And by you holding it up in the throttle, you're adding more fuel to it. So it thinks it's doing 60 miles an hour down the road when it's not. It's doing 2,200, 2,500 RPMs in your driveway. So, but I can tell you, it ain't a plug fuel filter problem and it isn't a fuel pump problem. Otherwise, it wouldn't run at those RPMs. So it's got a vacuum leak someplace, and somebody has to find it. And to be perfectly honest with you, there's a 50-50 chance that a technician, a well-seasoned technician, who's been in the business 30, 40, 50 years, probably can get within 10 feet of it and hear the vacuum leak and know automatically that's what they're going to fix. So the answer is find a good shop, take it to them, and just or tow it to them, whatever you want to do, and just explain to them and say, I'd like to demonstrate it for you before you start on it. So I'll have it towed. We'll drop it in your parking lot. I'll come over. I just want to show you that it's doing what it's doing, and then you call me with an estimate. And, oh, by the way, what's your diagnostic charge? And the diagnostic charge could be $50 to $150.
Okay. So if it's idling all right, then he won't be able to hear the vacuum leak.
No, you said it would only run at high RPMs, and when you let it idle, it died.
Yes, but now it will idle.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's idling now, then you know what I want you to do? I want you to go out tomorrow morning, early in the, before anybody gets on the freeway. And I want you to get on the freeway, and I want you to stomp the throttle to the floor. And wait until you get into speed, illegal speeds. Then back off completely until it goes to 45, 50 miles an hour. Then stomp it to the ground. And I want you to run the hell out of that thing tomorrow morning. And I'll bet you that'll fix it.
Oh, well, that sounds like fun, too.
Well, and just remember, the guy that, when you get stopped by the police for doing 80, and the, you say that the guy that did it, his name is Gil, and he works for KKNT. So if you want to complain about the radio show, then you call KKNT during the morning hours, or afternoon hours, and you ask for the general manager, and you're going to complain about Gil, who's the operations manager on weekends and also the audio engineer. He's the one that tells me what to say. He's the one that feeds me all the orneriness. And just say, Gil needs to get Mark under control, and that would work just well. Anyway, we're going to go to the phone straight off. John, you're up first. How can I help you?
Yeah, I got a 98 Grand Marquis, and when I turn the key on to start the car, the windshield wipers come on for two strokes, and then they turn off.
Okay. Most of the time, it's in the park mechanism of the wiper motor. So I think what I would do if I were you is open up the hood and find the wiper motor and just unplug it and see if that eliminates the problem altogether, and it should. Is it possible that you're parking it with the wipers on and you're shutting it off before you let the wipers come to a rest? Is that possible?
You mean, can I do that, or is...
No, see, people will pull into their garage, and they'll just turn the key off, and they won't shut the wipers off first and then shut the key off. Is that, could you be doing that accidentally?
No, I don't think so, because, okay. I put it in park and then, or turn it off and then put it in park.
Okay. Well, to be honest with you, your Grand Marquis is a very old car, and the technology is kind of old, and I don't know if it's got the ability to see moisture on the windshield or something like that. But I would start, you could start by disconnecting the battery's negative cable, and let's just reboot the whole system. You could try there. Then the second thing you do is if you found that you got the two flap every time you start the car up, then I would disconnect the wiper motor, and that for sure should make it stop doing that. And then I would plug it in after a while and see what happens. But more than likely, the wiper motor and the electronics in the wiper motor is causing it to flap, unless you have something in the windshield that tells about moisture. And if you have something in the windshield that tells the computer that there's moisture on the windshield, then the wipers would activate. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you it would probably take a half an hour to an hour to diagnose it. But I think my ideas are better. Let's start by disconnecting the negative cable at the battery. You'll have to reset your clock. And then if that doesn't do it, let's disconnect the wiper motor and see what happens. That's what I'd do. Okay?
Can I ask you another question about it?
Go ahead.
It takes about 6 seconds. It's a long time to turn over when you crank it. You first crank it.
Okay. Does it crank over at the same speed and then finally start?
Yeah.
Okay, so it goes, it doesn't go, it goes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is what I want you to try there. This is a diagnostic procedure. I want you to turn the key to the on position, but not to the start position, and count to three.
Okay.
then turn the key off, then turn the key on, just to the on position, and count to three. Do that three times. Then start the car. And if you say, Mark, if I prime the system like you described, turn the key on for 3 or 4 seconds and then shut it off, it starts up immediately. And then I'm going to say, okay, well, you're losing fuel pressure overnight, and it's probably the check valve or the return valve that goes back to the tank. It's an easy find and fix, or you can live with it, or it's going to cost you a couple $100 to fix it. And I've taught you how to work around it by just cycling the key on, counting to three, and off. Not crank, just on. Those are the two things. This isn't an easy one. It isn't a hard one to diagnose. It's just a little expensive to fix. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Robert, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yes. Hi, Mark. Love your show. Here, took my 2014 Camry hybrid into a shop, had some regular maintenance done, a radiator flush, and the service tech calls me back and says I've got a stuck thermostat. So okay, kind of unusual. The car hasn't had any problems at all, 97,000 miles. Then he calls me back and he says the electric water pump is shot. So I'm just wondering, am I getting reamed here, do you think?
Well, let me ask you a couple questions. Where's the gauge running at when you're driving the car?
It's right in the middle. Been there. I've had the car for 7 years.
No. This is question and answer. Forget the superfluous stuff. Okay. So you're saying that it runs between half and three quarters on the gauge?
Half. Never above half.
Okay. Well, then you're getting reamed. I don't know what else to tell you. So let me get this straight. First, we have a problem where the water pump's bad, and then we have this problem. We have these different issues, and you don't have any of the symptoms. You have none of the symptoms.
Correct.
So then it's, and then here's your self-defense mechanism. Oh, let me tell you something. My daddy's a mechanic from 100 years ago. Why don't you send me a message and tell me exactly what it is I need? And just put the prices in there as well. Here's my email address, and I'm going to send it to my dad, and I'll call you back. They'll never put it in writing because what they're telling you is bull. Okay? So you already know the car is fine. They're giving you symptoms that would cause that needle to bury on the right, to go into the red. This is the worst of our industry. You need to find a new place to change your oil. Okay, got to run. Todd, you stay right there. We'll be back picking you up in about 3 minutes. Welcome back, everybody. 43 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. If you, I got room for maybe one more call, maybe two, if you want to try it, 602-508-0960. And I'm going to take Todd. Todd, good morning. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. I have a 2002 Ford Excursion that a cargo trailer that was hooked up to my trailer, and it blew my dash. I have no window control. I've replaced all the fuse, well, not replaced, but I found a fuse that was bad, and I pulled all the others out, and they were all good. I've swapped some relays. I called a mobile mechanic, and he's like, it's beyond his capability, and I'm just looking for a place that I could possibly take that truck to.
On a 1 to 10 scale, for a gray-haired guy like me, that's probably a 4. It's got a fuse link that's burnt. You just have to find it. And a fuse link is a piece of wire that has a specific load, and at the end, if you exceed the load, it burns within the wire. So the insulation isn't burned most of the time, just the wire inside burns. So you grab a hold of one end of the fuse link, and you pull on it, and it stretches out, and the wire's broken, and bingo, bingo, bingo. Where do you live? What part of town?
I'm in Whitman, north of Surprise.
Okay. Auto Dynamics in Sun City. Hold on just a minute here. I'll get you down. If Auto Dynamics doesn't want any part of that, then I think you ought to go to Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue in Indian School. I don't have anybody closer to you that I really trust. I want to tell you something. This is no big deal. This is going to be a major fuse somewhere along the line, and it's probably on the connection between the trailer you were pulling and the receptacle. It's just we wiped out a complete circuit. You lost a lot of things. Once we find where that fuse link is burnt and fix it, and the trailer's disconnected, and probably we're going to disconnect that plug at the back of your... You got a, probably a 7-pin bargeman plug, the big round plug on the back of your Excursion?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Do you know how much that Excursion's worth right now? Do you have the 7.3 diesel in it?
No, it's a 5.8 V10.
Oh, okay. I know a couple of guys that were looking for the early 2000, 2001, 2, and 3 Excursions with the diesel in them, and they're paying $40,000 for them.
Oh.
$40,000.
Wow.
But I got to tell you, from an old point of view, that Suburban, or that, not Suburban, but that Excursion with that 7.3 big buck diesel, that's the king of all kings. You got a 9-passenger car, you got it rear air, front air, you got this giant motor underneath the hood. And it's what in my day, it was a 55 Chevy with a, you know, a 327 in it. That was the hot rod car. Or if you got a 55 Chevy and you put a 409 in it, that was really even better. But the early model Excursions with the 7.3 are just really, and if they're in really nice shape, they can even go higher than that. I'll tell you just a quick story because nobody else is on the line. My son bought an Excursion from one of our customers, and he fixed it up in the most amazing way with tires and wheels and suspension and window tinting, and he did a bunch of work to the diesel. He renovated the fuel delivery system and the injectors and all kinds of stuff. I loved it, and I said, you know, I'd really like to buy that from you. He goes, it's not for sale. I said, okay. So through the grace of God, I'm out messing around on a Saturday, and I meet a guy who has an Excursion that's the twin brother of the one my son has. So I buy his, and I take it to work, and I walk into my son's office, and I said, here's the keys to my new Excursion. It's out front. I want you to do everything you did to yours to mine. So he calls me up, and he's in hysterics, and he goes, Dad, there is no difference between your Excursion and mine. They're other than a year apart. He says, yours is 1 year newer. And I says, everything you did to yours, except I want leather in mine, and you put cloth in yours. And he goes, oh, you got to trump me, don't you? And I says, yeah, because your mother likes leather, and she's going to be driving it too. And so I just tell you, those old Excursions are really worth a lot of money right now just because of the monster motor that's underneath the hood, if it's a diesel. So, and
right.
you already have one, so you already know that even with the gas motor, they hold their own in just about every environment. So they're good vehicles.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Good luck to you. Anyway, when it comes, and we don't have anybody else, right, Gil?
Actually, we do have a caller, Kathy.
Kathy. Kathy, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hi, good morning. So I'm interested in purchasing a one-owner 03 Honda Element, and my son is advising me against it because Honda no longer makes Elements. And so he's worried about, so he said, go for more like a Civic or an Accord or a CRV. So what do you think? What would your advice be on that?
Well, I respectfully disagree with your son, but I admire him for caring enough to comment. Obviously, you're his mother.
Oh.
There's nothing we can't find for your Element, should it need anything. There's nothing out there.
Oh.
We can find anything
okay.
we want. So it is true that once the vehicle gets to be 20 years old, then it might be hard to find parts, but we have a parts mm-hmm. department that purchases, I don't know, millions of dollars a year of parts, and we're not struggling with finding parts for cars. We can find them.
Okay. Well,
it's been
yeah.
years.
It's an 03 with 67,000 miles
okay.
on it, one owner.
But so. before you buy it, I'd like you to, mm-hmm. Do you have a garage that you normally have do your oil changes, and are they more than an oil change shop?
So I currently own a 09 Nissan Maxima, more kind of like a small SUV type, but I've always admired the Element
style. No, you're missing my point.
I can't.
Who do you use? Don't give me the name. Do you have a shop that you use for normal maintenance?
Like I was saying, I have a Nissan, so I take it to the dealership.
Okay. Okay, what part of town do you live in?
I live in Litchfield Park.
Litchfield Park? Well, I would go to marksalem.com and find a shop, an independent shop that's close by you. I would go get I would ask the owner of the Element to meet you at that repair shop, and I would make arrangements in advance to have the repair shop do a pre-purchase review of the car. And that's where they will tell you what's fine and what's not fine and what the cost of not fine is. So it might sound like this. The car is in great shape, but it needs hoses and belts. All the rubber is going to cost you $411.50. I see nothing else mm-hmm. it needs. The tires are not 10 years old. The rest of the car is in good shape. The spark plugs aren't due anymore. The air conditioning blows cold. I don't see any bushings underneath that are bad. I don't see any ball joint. I don't see any abnormal tire wear. That's what you want, a pre-purchase inspection that can cost you between $100 and $200. Then you can negotiate with the person you're buying it from and have them participate in the work that needs to be done. So it's called a pre-purchase inspection, and it should cost between $100 and $200, and I would find someone in that area to do that for you. Meet the owner of the with the car there. And ask the shop if they would point out to you the defects they see, because we like that. My industry loves to have the man or the woman there. Look at this bushing right here, ma'am. See how that rubber's half gone and it's sticking out over here? Look right over here. Here's the same bushing, and that one's in great shape. So look at the contrast between that bushing on the driver's side and that bushing on the passenger side. Look over here. You see this wetness right here? That's an oil leak. It's from the power steering system. If you look up there, I'm shining my flashlight right on the high-pressure hose, and it's leaking at the fitting of the high-pressure hose. That's going to run you about $300. And the tires look good. They're a little worn on this one side, which would indicate that there might be an alignment, but that's a $99 alignment. That's what you want, is someone mm-hmm. to look the car over for you. That's what my advice mm-hmm. would be.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, good luck to you, Kathy. It's not a big deal to buy a car that's an 03 as long as it's priced appropriately. And under the best of conditions, we all hope that the owner was the original purchaser and has a three-ring notebook with every gasoline receipt and every repair they ever did. Those are the kind of people I want to buy cars from. That's where I want to buy my cars. So hopefully, Kathy, you'll find that out. Who's on the phone?
Say hello to Don.
Don, good morning.
Good morning. This is about my niece's car. It's a Fusion. It's about 5 years old, and I'm going to guess about 30,000 miles.
Okay.
Unfortunately, she read online that it would be a good idea for her to change every fuse in the car. They don't go bad. I've probably changed 5 fuses in my whole life in cars. So is this really necessary? What is going on?
That's just a bunch of horse crap. That there is nothing about a fuse that wears out. The fuse is a one-time fuse. If you overload the circuit, it pops. That's it.
I get it. I just wanted to hear from you that I'm not crazy.
Oh, no. Here, tell her this. What part of town does she live in?
In Surprise.
Okay, you tell her, say this. Mark Salem in Tempe has a shop, and he says for $200 that he will do this. He'll pull all your fuses one at a time. He'll use compressed air and blow out the fuse panel. He'll put a new fuse back in with just a Q-tip full of dielectric grease that helps control corrosion and ensures a good connection. And he'll take the blade and he'll go, psst, psst. He'll wipe the blade with a Q-tip with dielectric grease on both sides. He'll take the old one out, put the new one in. He'll give you all the old ones in a plastic box for your glove box so you have extras, and he'll do it all for $200. I am making fun of that operation. I'm not going to do it at all. But it would take about an hour to pull that off. But that's silly. And change the question. Mark, how many times has somebody been towed in because a fuse blew? Well, the fuse, we don't ever put a fuse on the fuel pump. So yeah. The fact of the matter is you might lose your air conditioning, or you might use your electric windows or your wipers, or you might use your blower motor, but you're not going to lose spark and fuel delivery on a fuse. So,
and does replacement fuses last anywhere near as long as the original equipment fuses?
They're all the same. Fuses don't have a born-on date. I'm quite sure we have fuses in inventory that we've had for 20 years. I'm quite sure, because we stock every fuse that it's ever made, and I'm sure some of them haven't been touched in 20 years. So it's just a crazy thing that somebody thought up to scare the heck out of ladies, and now they'll go in and have all their fuses changed. And here's the thing. How about the cabin filter? How about the rear carpet? You know, tell her that Mark said this. If you don't change the rear carpet, then it gets wet. And then when it gets wet, the water goes through the carpet and it begins to rust the floor. Then what happens is someone gets in the back seat, the floor is rusted, they step on the floor, their legs go down, and pretty soon it's like a Fred Flintstone car where they're trying to stop the car because their legs are sticking out of the floor. Which is nothing, I've never seen anything like that, but that's how silly this idea is.
I get it.
Okay.
Thank you. Unfortunately, we have gray hair, and she doesn't. She's not going to listen to us.
Well, so. Okay, then do this. Tell her, honey, do you a favor. Call around to three or four shops and just ask them, would you bid how much it's cost to replace all my fuses for me? I think that the bid will scare her away.
Well, actually, she's going to try to do this herself.
Okay, so. Well, tell her she needs Q-tips and dielectric grease, and she better get good fuses.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. All righty. My email address is mark@marksalem.com. Mark with a K at marksalem, Salem like the cigarette, .com. mark@marksalem.com. If you want to take me to task, you can. If you want to disagree with me, you can. If you want to come work for me, you can. And I'll tell you just a little bit about myself. I started working on cars in 1968 when I was in high school, and I worked at Ken's Broadway Shell at Broadway and Priest. He taught me a lot. Ken's dead now. But back then, in the rambunctious days of gas stations owners on the freeways, it was a little rambunctious back then. Your moms and dads will remember that. Anyway, so Ken taught me what to do, and more importantly, he taught me what not to do. And from there, I went and I became a policeman for a while, and then I opened up my own repair shop in 1979, and my wife and I have been partners. She handles the money and the books, and I handle the shop and the people, and we've been in business since 1979. I'm an ASE Master Certified Technician, and master means there are 8 automotive tests, like transmissions, air conditioning, electrical system, brakes, ABS, engine management. They have all these different tests. I've passed them all. That means I'm a master. And then after a while, when you have age and years of service, you don't have to take the tests anymore, so you are a Master Technician Emeritus. Otherwise, you're retired, kind of. So at the end of the day, I do lots of work for law enforcement and the like. So I'll see you next Saturday right here on KKNT. Every Saturday from 10 to noon, we're here talking about cars.